start off right off the bat. I know you very briefly. Like, I met you in person. Was it at Baltimore or Heroes? I get them
Yeah, it
confused.
was Baltimore Comic Con. It was very brief. Very
Yeah,
brief.
it was very brief. It was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Yeah, probably 4. It was on the
Yeah.
longer side. Do you still go to Baltimore?
Yeah, I try to go to Baltimore every year. I only live about, what, an hour and 20 minutes from there, so
Yeah.
that's the most convenient for me personally.
And
And I
you're.
never.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I never really, that was my first Comic Con I ever been to, is Baltimore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I never really got into cons or whatever because they're so far away, and that one, and now they're like popping up all over the place. They have DC now, and it's not called DC, it's called something else. Amazing Con or Awesome Con. Awesome Con.
Yeah. Well, you probably have a lot of ones that are at least within an hour or two driving, right?
There's a lot
Yeah, I
now,
can't
so.
imagine. I have three. I have three that are big, and then just hotel cons kind of thing.
Yeah, we have a lot of hotel cons. We have a little con where I live in a hotel, and I went there, and it was like all children under 10, so it
Yeah.
wasn't, but they call it a con, but it was meant for kids, so, and they didn't really have
I went
anything
to an
worth.
interesting one in Denver because it had Bernie Wrightson and his
Oh, that's
wife was
cool.
there. Yeah. I didn't expect it. They just were there.
Wow.
So that was probably the best hotel con I ever went to because I didn't expect to see anybody there but comics and he was there. So that was
That's
cool.
pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Very accessible too, so you could sit there and talk with him. Like I talked to him and his wife for, I don't know, about 15, 20 minutes. So
Oh,
that's
that's
always
cool.
fun. Yeah.
I know the last time I was down in Baltimore, I met and talked with, Keith Giffen and JM DeMatteis.
Oh
They're
God, those guys are great. Nope.
awesome to talk to. I mean,
They're like so. They like know each other so well that they just like can banter off of each other constantly. And they're a great panelist too. Like they're fantastic. If you want to go to a good panel, go see those two together.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
Yeah, they're great. I like them. So, what this show is about, if you don't know, I talk to various collectors. Or just people that are passionate about the hobby.
Right.
And I've only got like 7 in the can right now, but I've been trying to do more, being a
Okay.
little more proactive, trying to reach out. And I know you've done a podcast. I even think you invited me to Podcast Partners. I can't remember who did, but I could have sworn it was you. So like that Facebook page, which I like a lot because you get to see a lot of what people are putting out.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I did or not. There was a couple people that I have. It's a good possibility, and I don't
I
remember.
think it was you. I think it was you.
Yeah.
'Cause I didn't
Yeah.
know about it.
Yeah, it's always fun to like interact with other podcasters and that sort of thing. So,
Yeah.
the podcast that I'm currently doing, I've been doing since 2016, and we just me and a buddy of mine just talk a new and old comic just for fun. I mean, that's basically all we do, so.
Yeah. Wasn't that what most of it is for fun? If you weren't doing it for
Yes.
fun, then
Of
why do
course,
it?
of course. Of
Because
course. I mean,
there's no money in it. Unless you're
yeah.
somebody that I guess iFanboy makes some money. I don't know who
I
else.
guess. Yeah, I don't I'm not in it for the money. That's for sure.
Show me the money.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then I did a podcast, when the new 52 started.
Yep.
We called it the Bat Pod.
And you did one
And
before that, I think, a Batman, didn't you?
yeah, that was real brief.
That one was
That was
isn't
like
it have to do with your
three or
handle, your Twitter handle? Wasn't it Gotham Knights or Gotham Knight?
Yeah, it was Gotham Knights. It was a very brief. I got a lot of a feedback after an episode or two that wasn't very nice, you know, so.
Really?
And I kind of quit. Yes, I kind of quit because it was just me. And then I found a partner. And then when the new 52 started, we were going over like every book. And that kind of took off for a little while.
One thing you should learn is never listen to anybody. You do it.
Yeah.
One thing about podcasting is everybody has a unique voice. So what if there's 200 podcasts? There's
yep,
a lot
absolutely.
To choose from, and it gives more people a variety to find someone that is like you or that you can latch on to. And there'll always be your dicks that have to call and say, oh, your podcast sucks. I mean, I've gotten those.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
like,
of course.
I just, the easiest way to do it is just ignore it and just.
Yep.
The other thing that's a positive thing to do as a podcaster is never look at the numbers. Just do it. Just do it,
yeah.
Because it's either a catalog of what you want. Yeah, it's kind of like that, you know, do it and listeners will come. You know, it will happen. But, yeah, you've been doing it for a while. I mean, whether you had big hiatuses or not, you've had several.
Yeah, we've had several for the last, let's say, 8 months. We've put out at least one a month, and most of the time, twice a month.
Yeah, that's your too old, too new, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And
that's a lot of fun. It's just
that one has the flexibility of you being able to adjust to a lot too. Because if you're
and talk about anything you want,
right?
Anything.
If your passion sways, you give yourself a lot of room to sway. You
right.
can sway into the horror genre if you want, or
yep. anything you want to do.
Anything you want. If you want to read a Flintstones comic, you
I
can
do,
read a Flintstones.
I do miss talking about. Yeah. I do miss talking about Batman, though. That's always been my passion, obviously, from my Twitter name, Gotham Knight 13. But it has always been a passion going way back.
Yeah.
You know,
well, Batman's
know, like,
most
the,
people's passion. I mean, I think there's more Batman fanatics than any other character I can think of. Whether it be
yeah,
film
and I've got
or animation or comics or toys or there's just
absolutely.
A lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been caught as of late getting a little too negative, and I don't like to be negative. That's the one thing that when I do my podcast, I try not to be negative about anything.
Yeah,
just
try to look at the bright side of things.
Just because I want to talk about things that I love.
Sure.
And sometimes when you're very passionate about certain characters or certain books, sometimes. You know, you don't love everything, and I want to love everything.
Yeah. I hear you, and I kind of know
yeah.
what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, what actually got you into comic books? Like, how did this all start?
Well, it would be the Super Friends.
Yes!
Back in the 70s.
I wonder if we're roughly the same age, because that's what really got me. I had comics before then, but it was the Super Friends.
Well, I was born in 71, so I'm right around that time of Super Friends.
I'm a little older than you, but by 2 years, but we're in the same age group, sort of.
And, you know, every Saturday morning I was glued, and the only thing I was interested in, I'd watch other stuff, but the only thing I was really interested in is that Super Friends, you know?
Yeah.
And to see those characters, and at the time, when you first are introduced to those characters, besides Batman from the Batman 66 series, didn't know a lot. That's how I learned everything about those characters.
Yeah.
And I didn't jump into comics right away. Like, yeah, I was probably 13, 14 to I really jumped on comics. And we didn't have a comic shop in our neighborhood there was a video store that sold comics, and my grandparents would take me, you know, to this comic shop and say, hey, pick out a book. And I always latched on to Batman. Majority of the time back then, I'm thinking at that point, it was like early 80s. And, you know, I'd pick up and my eyes would get really big. You know, you see all these books and
then they
didn't always have, you know, what was newly released, but a lot of times they were back issues that came out months earlier.
Was this because it was the video store or what?
I would guess, but you know, at a certain point when I got into high school and I started a pull list, I stayed with that store for probably 10 to 12 years before there was a comic shop in our town, a regular comic shop. So when they pulled stuff for me, you got it every month. But before then, I'd just go in there erratically.
Right, whatever they had on the shelf kind of thing.
Yeah. So Batman, I didn't really get full time till right around 400. Uh-huh. But from like the 350s, between 350-something and 400, I may have like 25 different issues that when I went in, I picked up at that time.
Do you still have these issues?
Or did
you got them? So most of what you've collected, you've maintained or kept.
Yes. Yep. And of course, at the time, it's not... You didn't even know what backing boards and bags were.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain point, I got into that.
Well, did they even have them at the store? I don't think they did.
I don't think they did. Now that I think about it, I don't think they did. I remember when I was in high school and then, you know, you meet other people that are collecting comics and like, oh, you want to keep them in good shape. You need to throw them in a bag backing board, but it's not like you could just go and buy them anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, there was no internet. But
you
I do remember the time
shop,
that
a comic shop pretty much.
But I do remember the time that 400 came around. I was bagging and backing board at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually went back through that when you said we were going to talk, because I didn't know exactly what we were going to talk about.
Yeah.
But my first issue of Batman that I ever picked up, I went down and I wrote it down here. And it was actually number 324, and it had Catwoman on the cover. I don't know if you're familiar with that particular issue or not, in the purple suit, and looks like she's coming out of the sewer or something like that.
Let me look. I have a database, so...
Okay.
Yeah, that I was own excellent. That one, so I do have it. This is an interesting one because I didn't have it until like very recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just bought this one off of my comic shop probably 6 months ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I had read it before digitally. I think this was available digitally. And
yes,
I picked it up fairly recently. That's a very cool cover. That's my favorite Catwoman cover, by the way. I mean, costume.
Yeah, that is cool. No, but I would always go for, you know, when you're looking at these books and my grandparents are like, oh, pick out one book or whatever. Or maybe it was two books. I don't remember what it was. But I would always go for, like, a cover with a villain on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like Mr. Freeze or the Riddler or something like that.
Yeah.
Until I start getting them regularly. And I remember there was a couple issues before 400. It's around 380-something, I'm thinking, where the first appearance of the Black Mask.
Oh, yeah.
And they had two issues in Batman and two issues in Detective.
That's 386.
Yes. 386, and I believe, was it 387? I can't remember off the top.
Black Mask was in 386. And
yes, and I love that. I love because that character never showed up before because it was kind of neat to see that character come about.
Yeah,
and I had the full story. It wasn't like I just had one issue and then only part of the story. So I had the full story for that.
He's a villain that I've always liked. Like I've liked almost every incarnation of the Black Mask.
Yeah.
Even when he was in that story with, wasn't he in that, I'm trying to think of that story arc where he had kidnapped Catwoman's sister and she was a nun and tortured her and her husband, I remember. And
Yeah.
that was later. That was, I think that was towards when Willingham was writing it, roughly.
Isn't that when she shot him in the head?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
So
think
yeah,
so.
I've always liked him. I even liked him when he, I don't know if you read Red Hood and the Outlaws, but he kind of showed up in Rebirth.
Oh yeah, there at the
Yeah.
beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
yeah, he's always been a interesting character.
Yes. I always liked, the initial character where his mask was actually fused to his face.
Yeah.
There were some other bat villains that I really took to that wasn't. I always loved the top tier villains, but there was always certain villains as like, that's cool, even though it might sound like ridiculous. Like the ventriloquist, for instance,
Oh, he's
and
awesome.
Scarface. I love that character. I love
Yeah.
that character.
That's one of my favorites too. It's because he's so outrageous. I mean,
Yeah.
the brains behind it is all Scarface. But it's really him. It's so weird.
And there was a book, and I did it on my podcast. It was the retellings of his origin of Scarface and the Ventriloquist, and it was like a Secret Origins book, or I can't
Yeah,
remember off the top of
it's
my
probably
head,
Secret
but
Origins.
it was done by Chuck. It was done by Chuck Dixon, the original writer who when the he wrote about the ventriloquist for the first time, and it was a pretty good story. I mean, it basically said that the wood that he was carved from was this cursed wood that they used to hang people at Blackgate Prison.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool. It was kind of cool. It's nice to see when our original creators come back to a character and
Get to
are able
flesh
to
them
do
out a
something with
little
that
bit.
character.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, for a while there, I think they were doing, maybe it was Showcase.
Yes, that's what it was.
Showcase 94, one of those
Yes.
years it was like, here's the Batman villains, you know?
Yeah, it was Showcase 94.
And they
Like
did like
issues 8 and
Superman the
9.
year before,
And
and
then
yeah.
they did like three or four stories in each book, but this story, it was like part 1 and number 8 and part 2 and number 9. So it was pretty good. But yeah, when I started on Batman, I mean, I read a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Because back in the late 80s or whatever, I was in high school and I had a part-time job, so I could buy whatever I wanted. And I mean, I was reading Captain America, I was reading Iron Man, The Hawk when Peter David was on there. I jumped into Uncanny X-Men. Actually, my first issue of Uncanny X-Men was the issue that was the spoof of Invasion from DC's Invasion.
Really?
Yeah. I
Around the
believe
same,
that was like
around the, just slightly after Invasion?
it was slightly after Invasion. It was, I'm thinking, issue 240 something. I can't remember off the top of my head. But the cover, I love the cover. Actually, I still have on my Twitter picture is the cover of Wolverine, and it's like Guy's Night Out on the cover. And Wolverine has a jacket, and they used to have those covers, with the word balloons on them. And he's like, hey, you want to make something of it or something like that. Very cool cover.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for it.
But it was definitely a
Was
spoof
it
of
an
Invasion. That
was it
was,
Uncanny or was it X-Men?
yeah, it was in Uncanny.
Okay. Yeah, 'cause the first appearance of Gambit was like 260s, so was Gambit around when
No,
he
Gambit wasn't there yet. It was before Gambit. Gambit, it was before, it was right around the time where they had their hideout in Australia, and they couldn't be seen by, you know, recording devices. Everybody thought they were dead.
Gateway was there.
Yeah, Gateway was there.
He's an interesting character, an Aborigine that can have those teleportation. Because he plays a big part in Generation X. He was actually teleporting. He teleported Penance to try to rescue her from Empath or whatever his name was.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he has a had a presence in there. I think he's even shown up in the modern world, like in Uncanny Avengers or something. One of those titles. It's either him or it's his son or some relative.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But no, I loved all that Chris Claremont stuff. I mean, I read those books for years and years. You know, you get into some of those big crossovers like the, what was it, the Executioner Song, Extinction Agenda. Yeah.
So you, did you go big Marvel or did you always stick with Batman during that time too?
Yeah, I always stuck with Batman. I did Superman too during the triangle numbering and the death of Superman and all that. I always did Superman, and I jumped on the Justice League, you know, when it was Justice League International, when Giffen and DeMatteis started up. And
did you jump Justice on from League the Europe. Beginning, or did it take you, did you jump on because of Superman?
I jumped on about 7 issues in, and then I went back to this, I searched it, I had to travel to a comic shop that actually was a comic shop, and I got the first 7 issues.
Yeah, because I think the first 6 are Justice League International, and then they changed the name to just Justice League or something like that.
Yes, then they changed. Yes.
Yeah.
It kind of jumped back and forth, and it turned into Justice League America. And
yeah, that one, it came up became America towards the tail end. That's when the team got really weird. It was like Wonder Woman and Blue Devil and Nuke and Obsidian from Infinity.
Obsidian, yep.
Matter of fact, it was written by I can't think of his name, but he was
Dan Jurgens for a while.
Dan Jurgens did it for a while,
and Botto or Vito, Dan.
The guy who took over, I think, from Jurgens was. Oh man, he wrote that comic book. The Men of Tomorrow. It was a comic book about like the Seagulls and all the main DC stuff, like creators at that time period. I can't remember his name, but Chuck something. I'm losing it.
Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head.
He was recently arrested. That's why it came to mind. Yeah. Something about.
But yeah, then they had a book that spun out of that called Extreme Justice.
Yep, they sure had that one, and then that was an interesting one because that one had Captain Atom, Blue Beetle, and Booster. And
yes.
Maxima. Amazing Man.
Amazing Man, yes.
Yeah, he's the one that could turn. He came from the All-Star Squadron comics. That's where I remembered him from. But there was another one, Justice League Task Force.
Yeah, Justice League Task Force. I just got the, you know, several months ago, I just got the first trade that was released. They just released a trade of like the first half dozen issues or so of Justice League Task Force.
Yeah.
Which, that was kind of cool that was traded.
Yeah, you wouldn't think there would be a big demand for it, but I guess they wanted to get it out there. Probably, it was probably traded because they wanted, the Justice League movie was coming out, and they wanted to put as much Justice League on the shelves as they possibly could.
Yeah. So,
and then there was Justice League Quarterly. Because that spun out of Justice League Europe and Justice League International / Justice League. So there was
and
a
Booster
lot of
Gold
League.
Had his own. Yeah, Booster Gold has his own team, I believe, in Justice League Quarterlies. It was like a
Yeah,
conglomerate.
the conglomerate. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a
So that
character I've really enjoyed.
I loved all that stuff.
Booster was
And when
always
I
in my wheelhouse, even the original series.
Yeah.
I've always found him fascinating because I was like, this guy from the future who stole all his abilities and then came back to the past.
Yeah, I just read his series maybe in the last 3 or 4 years, that series from the 80s. So that was very good.
Yeah. That's why when you know Jurgens is penning a book, Booster usually shows up. But he even showed up in the Byrne years, like in early Action Comics. You have that great cover where he like Superman's on the ground and Booster's like holding him up, like he just whooped his ass. So like yeah, I've always dug him. He,
It
plus good costume too. I like his color design.
yes.
Like it's just different. The only one that's close
And
to him is a Green Lantern villain called Javelin, but he's got the yellow and
yeah.
blue.
Don't quite remember that guy, but
Well,
no, did you?
he was a villain because at that time his ring was vulnerable to yellow. And
Oh,
he
okay.
had a yellow spear, javelin, so.
No, and I read that talking about Superman, Action Comics Weekly.
Yeah, that was fun. The
Yeah, that was
Blackhawks
that
and
was a lot of
stuff was in
fun.
there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always
Yep,
liked
and
the
then
when those were coming out, I always dug those because you never knew what you would get. Like you'd have a 4-issue arc
yes.
of X and then it would switch and it was always exciting to see what other story you could get.
Yeah, and I think you know what? It was more fun when you didn't know what was coming up in a story.
I agree.
You know, like today, I know what's coming 3 months in advance or whatever. If you want to know, if you don't want to know, you can try to not know, but it can be difficult. But you know, not knowing what's coming is kind of fun.
It's true, but if you're in the world of pre-orders, it's a
Yes.
little different game, you know?
It is. But if you're gonna get something, you know. If I know I'm gonna buy Batman each month,
Yeah.
then it doesn't matter as much because I'll pre-order it anyway, so.
Well, that's what I do with DC, 'cause I buy all the DC, so I don't usually read any of the blurbs in previews. I just look for what's new, like what's the new number one that's coming out.
Yeah, I have a problem. I cannot stay away from it. It's like an addiction or something, you
Oh,
know? I
previews?
gotta read. Yes,
Oh, I still
unfortunately.
read it. I read it cover to cover, but what I mean is I don't usually read the text. So like, I don't know if you get into the text. If it's an independent and I don't know what it is, I'll read the text and say, "Oh, that sounds interesting," or I don't want to do that because it's in the fantasy realm or but if it's something I already know I'm going to get, I don't usually read. Unless it's spoiled in social media. Sometimes that
And
happens.
that
You
can
see it,
be.
you'll see an image or something pop up.
Yeah, and I've tend to got spoiled a lot in the past few years on big stuff that's been kind of upsetting. You know, I guess
What
the.
is some of the ones that you've been spoiled on? You weren't spoiled on the Batman 50, were you?
No, because I
Okay.
didn't read it. I knew they had announced something, but I didn't read what the spoiler was.
Okay.
It was the Rebirth issue. The Rebirth issue was coming out on that Wednesday, and the night before, one of these news websites posted that Wally West picture
Oh, okay.
and said Wally West is back in the on Twitter on the page. It's not like you could click on the spoiler and then see it. They had a picture of it, which I was very annoyed. Well, I was annoyed with myself that I got on there at all, Because I knew there was going to be spoilers. That was probably the biggest one in recent years that I can think of.
I've been pretty good about not getting spoiled, but I think it's because I use the list feature on Twitter. And
okay.
I know the people that are on my list are not going to spoil anything.
Yeah. I've sort of, you know, over the last few years kind of weeded people out. The people that spoil stuff like that.
Yeah. Here you go. So it's been pretty good because, yes, I do sometimes in the middle of the night before I go to bed, I'll scroll my, like, everybody I'm following. But 95% of the time, I just focus on my list. Like, I'll go to my list and just look. And I tend to avoid a lot of spoilers on that. And that's still cool. Still most of the time I don't usually get too spoiled. Like by the time I read it, because I don't read in a timely manner like most people. By the time I get to it, I've usually forgotten what that person is, because I'm a mood reader. I try to optimize my entertainment by reading for what I'm in the mood for.
Yeah. Yeah, and as of the last few years, I do mostly mail order through DCBS.
Same
so
here.
Sometimes I don't get it, you know, right away. It's like a couple weeks. And if it's something I really want to read, I'll read it on digital first.
Yeah.
I did
that for Batman 50 because I knew it was around the 4th of July. I knew that if I didn't read it when I read it on Wednesday, that I would get spoiled by the time I got back. So I downloaded number 50 and I downloaded Catwoman number 1 on Comixology and I read them because I didn't want to get spoiled on those two.
No. And speaking of Catwoman number 1 was so good.
Joelle, man.
Yes,
she's
that
so
was
phenomenal.
Fantastic.
The only thing I'm concerned about is her ability to keep up monthly. Like, I think she, if I had to predict, I think she's going to get 4 issues in and then we're going to see a guest artist. Like, I think she'll still pen, you know, write it.
Yeah.
But writing and drawing is usually pretty brutal to those people if they don't have a large lead time, and I don't think she had a large lead time because I was just at Heroes Con and she was working on 2, so so
that's
not
cool.
Too far, you know. Heroes Con was a month away, you know, a month ago, so she's not that far ahead.
No.
But it is gorgeous. I mean, the holy
it is.
Moly. Her attention to detail is something that you don't see in artwork too much anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Now, the other thing that I was big on, you know, way back when, I still am, is all the, you know, crossovers, you know, the big yearly events.
Yes.
I used to love those from, I guess the first biggest one that I jumped on was Invasion.
Yeah.
I loved Invasion. Loved it.
They have the Todd McFarlane cover too.
Yeah.
You don't have too many Todd McFarlane works in DC, but they're there.
Nope. Yeah, you have a few.
You got some Batman covers and you have a couple issues of Infinity Inc. And you have some Invasion, and then I think he was gone. He's done some pinups too. Like I know he did an Arak pinup and like a couple of things, because I've been trying to get all of his work.
That's cool.
He's a guy that has an attention to detail too in his artwork. He put a lot of lines in there, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
His webbing was, to this day, I don't think anybody draws webbing like him.
No, No,
that's a lot of lines. I mean, it's a lot of lines you have to
I mean, how much time do you think it takes?
I have no idea.
Holy cow.
He doesn't draw much anymore, but I don't know if you follow him on Facebook, but he when he draws on that light or that digital thing, he's pretty fast still.
Have you seen anybody do that before?
Do what?
You know, do the art on the digital?
Just Todd, because he films it
on Facebook. I saw somebody at a con do it like a year or two ago. And they were doing it, and they were, like, so fast and quick. I'm like, how's that even work? But there was a line of people, you know, around them, and I didn't get a chance to talk to them. But, and I don't really know who it was off the top of my head, but it was amazing.
Yeah. He's fast, so I don't know, like, why he doesn't draw anymore. Like, at least give us, like, one or two issues a year. In Spawn or something. Yeah. Like he'll draw an occasional Spawn cover, and he plots it, so he's still involved in Spawn, but
yeah, I think he came back like around 250 or something like that.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't done it for a while, and then he came back.
Well, him and Eric Larson teamed up for a Spawn arc, and it was phenomenal. He wrote it. And it was a Savage Dragon Spawn arc, and I don't know if Todd did inks. I think he did inks over Eric Larson's pencils, and God, it was phenomenal. It was amazing. And he did that Haunt series from Image.
Yes, that was very good, too.
Yeah, it was.
It was like in the mid-2000s, something like that.
Yeah, I dug it. So,
yeah, it was good.
So, at this time, were you getting any independence, or were you mostly staying within the Marvel and the DC realm in the 80s
like
and
early
90s?
On?
Yeah, early on.
The first independent, if you want to call it independent, would be, you know, I jumped on when everybody was jumping off of Marvel into Image, and Image started up.
Uh-huh.
And you had Youngblood, and you had Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
I did get an issue or two of Savage Dragon.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it was coming out, Spawn number one, or maybe it was Youngblood. I can't remember whoever came out first. And they were making such a big deal. It was, like, in the news.
Oh, yeah. Because
still, there was no internet. It was in the news.
Rob Liefeld's book was the first one to hit Youngblood.
Yes. Yes.
And then Spawn came after, and I think then it was Eric Larson's Savage Dragon, which was really a three-issue mini before it went ongoing. And then you had Shadowhawk. That might have been the fourth one. And then I think you had Jim Lee's Wildcats and Cyber Force.
Yeah. So I think I bought, like, every copy they had of Youngblood.
Yep.
Thinking I'm going to be a millionaire here and...
Well, it was popular. I mean, there were lines for that shit. I mean, it was pretty popular. It was an exciting time in that Spawn time. At least for me, it was.
Yes, it was.
Because
there was actually a documentary not too long ago that showed how that all happened and had all the guys on there talking about it. They left Marvel.
Yeah, there's two very good ones. There's Kirkman did a version of it in his documentary, and then there was the Image one that was on Netflix or Amazon. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, that's the one I saw.
Yeah. They were very good. The Kirkman ones were nice, too, because it focused... They had a really good episode on the Milestone universe, and that spawned off the 90s, too. And
made me want to pick up something from Milestone. I mean, they keep saying it's coming.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah.
That's one universe I own everything of, the Milestone universe.
That's awesome. I remember they brought him back a little bit. Who was it?
They did.
Dwayne McDuffie?
Yep, he sure did. Yeah. He had his Justice League arc, and he brought in Icon and a bunch of characters. And during that time, they launched Zombie. Like, he was showing up right before Flashpoint. So Zombie had a book. You had Static showing up. you had a lot still going on before he passed. I actually think that his passing kind of put a delay in any kind of relaunch. You know, they keep saying that they have these books and several of them are involved, but we haven't seen anything like a solicit other than what the titles may be.
No.
And it's weird because I don't think we're going to see one in the next 6 months because they're already launching several books like new imprints that, you know.
I mean, you would have probably heard something at San Diego if something was coming this year, I would have thought.
Yeah, because we heard stuff from last year. And then
Yeah.
they had that documentary, and it sounded like, yeah, we're going to do it. And it kind of died off again.
Yeah.
But it was fun because it was like all of these, it was a time where they were launching all these superhero universes, and you could be at the ground floor. Like, we weren't around when DC launched or
Nope.
Marvel launched. We
Nope.
just jumped in. But this was like a different time because we were there at the beginning. Like for Valiant, Malibu, Ultraverse, and Image, and Milestone, they were all continuity-driven universes with superheroes. So it was fun.
Yeah, it was. No, I guess it's not really independent, but a lot of the Vertigo stuff in the mid 90s I did, like the Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol. I love that. I didn't do much of the Rachel Pollack stuff that
I
I say it's too weird,
think I left during that time, but I want to finish the Rachel Pollack stuff. 'Cause I don't have that. I stopped after Morrison left, roughly. I think I got one or two issues of Pollack's and then I dropped off. So I got to go back and finish that run. I'm glad you
Then I did,
reminded me. I got to do that.
Then I did some Swamp Thing there. Swamp Thing had a pretty long run. Hellblazer.
Yep.
I kind of jumped around on Hellblazer. The Preacher.
Yeah.
That was some amazing stuff.
Did you go on to Animal Man?
I did like, I remember doing like maybe like 10 issues of Animal Man. You know, I would buy stuff and say, hey, I'm all excited about this. And then I would get excited about something else. And I
Yeah,
would read something else.
squirrel.
And then. And then I would forget that I even had, you know, another title. Listen, I didn't
Yeah.
even realize I bought this. But I guess in the last 10, 15 years, I've jumped more on the independent stuff. But mostly it's Marvel and DC.
So, any other highlights that you want to talk about in the 90s?
Well, late 80s, early 90s, I was reading The Hawk. I jumped on The Hawk right before it was during the Peter David's run, but right before one of my favorite runs on The Hawk was the Joe Fixit era.
Oh, yeah.
Love that book.
That j the
And
Gray Hulk in Vegas with the hat.
that was great stuff. And I was reading Captain America. You know, Mark Gruenwald, I believe.
Yeah, he
There
he's
was.
still he's still to my day to this day my favorite Cap writer. I used to love the way he'd plot because he'd have like three or four things going on in each book. I love that style of storytelling. That's my favorite style of storytelling because one is ending, one is starting, and then you have two that are in the middle in some phase, and it's such a good story way of telling because it wants you to read monthly. Like it's not for the trade.
Yes.
It's like, hey, this story ended. Oh, I'm satisfied, and this one's starting, and these two are in the middle. Got to figure out what's happening next month. So I love Grenwald. God, he was good. And he
And
did
those covers.
Quasar too, yeah.
Yeah. There's some of those covers on Captain America, like one of my favorite ones was Captain America 332, where it says it has the American flag and it says Captain America no more.
Yeah, yeah.
Love that. Love that. Well, and then there was
a lot of people, you know, complain about Cap and Hydra and stuff, and Cap's had issues where he's lost faith in country many years ago, going back to the Silver Age.
Yeah.
I mean, he's become nomad. He's become, what was it, like kind of like U.S. Agent, even though U.S. Agent assumed that costume later on. He's become so many icons that wasn't Cap at the time because somebody else took that role.
And, that's right around the time where he did take that other suit. He did have the black suit, and John Walker became
John Walker became the and that guy had a temper. Holy moly. I wonder if that was the time that Azrael took over Batman, because that was Batman having a temper. Like, he wasn't
going to
put up with it. Yeah.
It's possible. But yeah, Captain America, I did read some Iron Man, you know, right around 300, maybe between 300 and 400. It could have been.
Bob Layton, David Michelinie years, maybe.
But yeah, I read that, but it always was Batman. Always Batman was the passion. Like when Nightfall came out and Batman had his back broken, that's like my favorite story of all time.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the most well-written story of all time, because every time I say that, I'm at a comic shop or something, people kind of laugh. Well, I said, to me.
Yeah, it's because it hooked you, and everything that you, when you reread it and revisit it, that was kind of like the first when Batman started to get drawn out into these big year-long events.
Yeah.
You had Nightfall, Night Quest, Cataclysm, your No Man's Land. I mean, it was like one after another.
And it was like, I read that issue and, you know, you wanted to run back to the store the next week to get the next issue of that story.
Yeah, and at that time, if you weren't have on a pull list, it was dangerous to do that because there were people in lines to get those. It was Batman and Superman, and those books would fly off the shelves because everybody got into those numbering, like the internal event numbering. Superman was numbered weekly. Batman was numbered weekly. And I remember, like, not getting a certain book, like a Catwoman I'd miss or something because I didn't sign up for it, and I'd have to go back and track it down. That was a good time.
Yeah, you don't see that too much anymore, where they have like all the titles doing like a big massive crossover.
Yeah, I can't think of the last one I read was Avengers, but what they did that I appreciated was they put it all under one banner, so they...
Oh, yes, yeah.
They combined U.S. Avengers and all the different Avengers titles into one title, so...
Yeah, and they made it weekly there, like, for months.
I dug that, No Surrender. It's really good.
Acts of a Vengeance
from
Marvel in the early... It had 20 parts or something like that. Maybe it was 15 to 20. And there wasn't a main book. It was just continued in each part.
Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah.
They redid all the X-Men books, and they were titled something different.
So, I have an artist that's on Batman. He's been on many different titles. But he gets a bad rap. He always gets the bad rap on how he draws Batman. And I absolutely love this guy.
Who's that?
And it's Kelly Jones.
I don't know who gives him a bad rap. I'm shocked that I've only heard good things about him.
That's good. Because I've heard, maybe I'm listening to the wrong stuff. Because I do listen to a lot of podcasts. And it's like, every time I hear somebody say, oh, it's Kelly Jones again, because there's a Kelly Jones book coming up with Scarecrow.
Yeah.
It's like a miniseries. And they're like, oh, it makes my blood boil, because I think Keith has a fantastic version of Batman.
It is a very dark version.
And yes.
He's got some yes. big, big
It might
horns.
Not be for everybody.
Well, it's got he did the Red Rain yes. and the Vampire one, and he's yes. in Nightfall too. I mean, speaking.
And I'm
of,
not saying he's my favorite of all the Batman artists, but I like his unique style. But my biggest pet peeve of like podcasters is downing an artist or creator, not a review podcast, not somebody that's reviewing it, but somebody that just has to mention something negative about a certain creator just because they don't like them. It bothers me because, and there's no basis to it other than, oh, he sucks.
Yeah,
he sucks.
Art, though, is like, it's a tough thing because yeah, not yeah. every artist is going to appeal to everybody.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I mean, regardless of what you say, he is an accomplished artist, so you got to yeah. pay respect. He does hyper exaggerate things. He's very much like in the Sam Keith realm,
where he
will, like Sam Keith would draw the Wolverine hair and it would go 2 feet in the air,
yes.
and then do these
yes.
little hooks. It would do yes. these little hooks. It's crazy hair.
Mean, you might not want to see it all the time, but I thought it was always cool when he'd have a run.
Yeah, and he would draw him hairy as hell. I mean, he looked like a beast. But, like, Sam Keith is one of those artists. Kelly Jones is amazing because he makes it, like, where he fits really well is in the horror genre. So when he was doing, like, Red Rain and stuff, because he has that creepy, and then they, like, dark, they usually ink his stuff really dark.
Yes.
So
he recently did that last series, was a mini of Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
He was the artist. And he's perfect for Swamp Thing.
Oh, yeah. He's a very good horror. And that's why Scarecrow is perfect for him. Because who is like in the horror genre like more than Scarecrow?
Yeah.
I mean, he deals with fear, like people's worst fears. And you can hyper – his costume is drawn so different by so many different artists. But he can definitely take his spin on that character for sure. I'm looking forward to it. He's really good.
Yeah,
I like
yeah.
him. I'm pretty sure all my Gotham by Geeks brothers like him.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I noticed you're not doing that show anymore.
Yeah, I had too much going on.
Too much going on.
Record, I can't record. And I didn't like getting homework because of the way I read.
Yeah.
I didn't like to schedule, oh, you have to read this. And then they'd reschedule, and then I was like, but I already read this.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I was getting frustrated. So I didn't fit well into their – it was a podcast – that I love doing with those guys because I love them. I
yeah.
love them. And I miss that part of it. I miss talking to them because I don't talk to them that much anymore because that was – I did Valiant Podcast with them. I did Gotham by Geeks. But I don't miss, like, the scheduling and having to work around four people's schedules and try to get the right time and – the weekday thing was brutal for me because they're all East Coast.
Yeah.
And I'm West Coast, so when they say we're starting here, I might still be at work.
Right, right,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
My podcasting partner, Seth, he's on the West Coast. So when we record, it's like 8 o'clock my time, and it's usually 5 in the evening. He's just getting home from work
yeah.
when we record, so... I'm lucky we're able to find a time because 3 hours difference is.
That's why I usually do the morning, so they're almost in the afternoon when
yeah.
Because most of my podcasts, most of my friends, like 95% of my friends are all East Coast. My bill is on Central. But I don't have any friends on the West Coast. I mean, that are close. I have friends, but I don't have any like people I call brother and I'm real comfortable with. They're all East Coast. So I hear you. It's a harder thing to do. So going into the let's see, we're still in the 90s. Any other thing you want to wrap up there before we go into the 2000s?
90s. I mentioned Captain America. Fantastic Four. I did some Fantastic Four. Actually, I just did an issue of Fantastic Four on my podcast like a month ago. It was 348 by Walter Simonson and Art Adams. And you know, the Fantastic Four were replaced by Ghost Rider, Spider-Man, Wolverine, and the Joe Fixit Hawk.
And they didn't last too long because we
Now
had
they,
Art Adams.
yeah.
He's one of the slowest artists there is.
It was like two issues. It was very good, but I read that for a little bit also.
That was cool. I love the Fantastic Four. That's one of my teams. I'm looking forward to them coming back.
Oh
Really am.
yeah. I did.
Excited.
It's been quite a few. What? Three years since we've had a Fantastic Four book, two or three.
Well, we've had sort of glimpses of them. We had Johnny in the Inhumans. We had the Thing in the Guardians. We had them teaming up sort of in Infamous Iron Man with Dr. Doom as the Iron Man, which is very interesting. And then we had Marvel 2-in-1, and that's going to
Two and
lead
one.
us into
That's been excellent.
and then yeah and that's going to lead us into FF. So I'm looking forward to it because we haven't seen like Valerian and Franklin in a while other than glimpses of them.
No. It looks like they're going to be part of the team.
Well, they were sort of when Hickman was doing it because he had the kids in one, the Future Foundation and the FF. That was good stuff. I liked it.
Yeah, I know there in the 90s I was reading, you know, I mentioned Uncanny X-Men, but I was reading the regular X-Men book, X-Factor,
Yeah,
you
the
know,
Peter David. Yep.
the Cable book led into like the new X-Force.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
Yeah, that's when
I think.
the X-Men were booming. You're talking about like the era where Liefeld took over New Mutants, and that led to X-Force, and then led to him leaving. But that's when McFarlane was on Amazing Spider-Man with David Michelinie, and then got his own Spider-Man. And Eric Larson took over Amazing when McFarlane left, and Portasio was on Uncanny, I think he was, and Jim Lee was on X-Men, so that's where all your Image guys were. And Valentino, who did Shadowhawk, was in Guardians of the Galaxy. So yeah, that was a good time to be in comics, especially for an artistic point of view, because it was like art was taking over at that in that time.
And as far as DC goes, the JLA, the Grant Morrison JLA, started up in the late 90s. Love that book. It had a completely different feel of what, you know, your Giffen DeMatteis was, and
Yeah, a more serious approach, a larger than a big. The Giffen DeMatteis, very humorous, very personal in character, but as far as like big villains and stuff, it was weird.
they had really lame villains.
Yeah, they had the guy in Laron, the what was it, Mac, that space glamour guy in space, and I don't know, had
Oh, yeah.
Maxwell Lord leading them, which was kind of their villain, but they never knew it till the end. And I don't know, it was just strange stuff.
Yeah. And I guess that kind of led into, you know, the 2000s with, you know, the couple crises there.
Yeah, reinventing the crisis. So you weren't around during the first crisis then? Like, you didn't pick up
I didn't crisis. Read it initially, no.
Yeah.
I had picked up an issue of it. But that's, and it's like reading an issue in the middle of a story doesn't really do the story much, doesn't do it justice. So yeah. I didn't. And at the time, about finding regular back issues were almost impossible. If you wanted certain ones, they had what they had, but it's not like they could, I mean, the store was basically a video store. It's not like they could order a back issue. Yeah. So I kind of missed out on that. I went back and read it. Actually, didn't go back to read it. It was probably the late 90s till I went back and read that. And then you had, it wasn't related, but Identity Crisis. I remember that book.
I love that one. That's my
I
favorite.
Love that. That's another book that you had to run out and get the next issue because you couldn't
wait.
Oh, God,
it was polarizing. I mean, it was polarizing from a fan perspective, too, because a lot of fans didn't like it. I have really good friends that don't like it. And that is my favorite. I was in tears almost every book. I was just, when Ralph loses Sue, I still cry when I reread it. I'm still like devastated by it.
Yeah, it was amazing. I thought it was amazing.
And then just seeing the artwork, like when Tim comes home and his father has a boomerang in his chest.
Yeah.
You're like, holy shit. It is just a... there's so much happening in that.
There's that fight with Deathstroke.
Oh my God, he took out the whole Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much to love in that.
Yeah.
Mind wiping. As soon as I found out about the mind wipe and found out that it came from the satellite era, like it referenced it, I went and picked those up immediately before.
Yeah.
I knew the prices were going to go up on them. I went immediately to the store, dug through some boxes, and grabbed them.
Yeah, that was something. Well, even some of those characters, I mean, I've read a lot of books. I didn't even mention some of them, but like the Atom, he was central in that book.
Yeah.
I remember picking up his book, The Power of the Atom.
Yeah,
that was like late 80s, early 90s.
Sure.
When that came out, I really enjoyed it. I haven't read it in a long time, so I don't know how it's fared over the years, but I really enjoyed that one. I enjoy that character. I know they have a new Adam, and they lately they've made him look, you know, like the TV show Arrow, or I guess he's in the other...
Well,
the
he's
other
a
show
little
now.
A little bit lighter than Ray Palmer. He's not as well. He's sort of like a student of Ray Palmer.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has like, you know, an Iron Man type suit.
Well, he's interesting too, though, because he had a run that was pretty long. Gail Simone wrote him.
Oh, Gail Simone did. Yes.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Or is that his name?
Yes. Yeah. Interesting character.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always liked the Atom. I think my first Atom book was Justice League of America in the satellite era, but my first exposure was the 4-issue mini, The Sword of the Atom, which came before when he was miniaturized and lived with all the small people.
Yeah. Well, I think Ray Palmer was in that... You know, when the New 52 started, he was in that Frankenstein book.
Oh, yeah, he was. He was part of Shade.
Yes.
He was the scientist.
Oh, I love that book. That was such a good book.
Oh, I love Frankenstein. I think Frankenstein is the character that came out of Morrison's Seven Soldiers that really shined. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's the character I want more of. Like, there's not enough of. And his wife, I love the bride. I mean, it was so much going
every
on.
Every time they show up, you want more.
The story's tragic, too. Because they had the kid. Oh my God. I mean, there's. Oh, it's so good.
They were in recently, maybe in the last year or two, in Superman. They had that story in Superman with
Yeah, I remember that. And he showed up in the Two-Face, or when Batman was teaming up in one of the books. I can't remember what the Batman title was.
It was Batman and Robin,
That's when
and
he
there
was
were
trying to bring somebody back to life. Do
it
you
was trying
remember?
to bring Damien.
And he
Now,
kidnapped Frankenstein.
yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird because Batman had the same mentality that Robin had when Superboy died, the Teen Titan. Like, he wanted to bring him back to life.
Yeah.
And it was Batman, same reaction. He wanted to bring back his son. Was some good stuff. I like when Frankenstein's involved.
Yeah.
I wish the rebirth, like I think that's where New 52 excelled at, is the obscurity. Like their Frankenstein book and Eye of Vampire and some of that stuff that was getting canceled early was some really good stuff. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and there was also OMAC.
Yeah,
You know?
that had
New
Kirby like
52?
artwork. I loved it.
Yes. Yes. It was Keith Giffen, wasn't
And
it?
S Keith Giffen and Scott Koplish. Like I was
Yeah.
like, I can't believe how much they mimicked that style. And they mimicked it again in Legion, and I thought it was amazing. So when they teamed up in Legion of Superheroes, I was like, oh yeah, I love this. He's changed a lot, and I like Giffen's art for the better. The later
Right.
stuff,
I
because
think he can adapt. He can adapt.
he's
He is.
probably one of the best panel layout guys I've ever seen. But there's a time where his art is really weird, and that's around the Legion time when he was doing Trencher for Image and Ambush Bug. It looked really weird. It's very stylistic. Pull up
Yeah, there were
Trencher the next time you see it. That's when
Trencher.
he went to Image. And
Huh.
he did a book called Heckler. I think it was Heckler. And it was a DC book, and he had that art style. It's very different. Yeah, he was the artist for that and the writer. I like Keith Giffen. I think he's very
Yes.
versatile. And same with J.M. DeMatteis. Like, what he did for Fate. Did you ever read that? Like, Dr. Fate back in the 90s, I think it
Oh
was.
yeah, oh yeah. That he had a
Oh.
4-issue miniseries, and then it led into the series. I read
Yeah,
those.
do you remember when he was like the younger groups? Like, it wasn't Kent Nelson, it was the boy and the woman. And
Yeah.
sometimes Fate looked like a woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man. And then you had the Demon, Alan Grant. Holy crap. Some good stuff in that time period.
Was the question, the Dennis O'Neill question, around
Yeah,
then?
that was around right
Yeah.
after Crisis. So that was early 90s. Crisis was roughly 87, I think.
Another book that I really enjoyed was the Hal Jordan Spectre series.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I know that probably wasn't,
The Spirit of Redemption
Yeah,
instead of
I did
Vengeance.
enjoy it. Yeah, I did enjoy it.
I was a little mixed because I've always been a Spirit of Vengeance guy, but I liked where it came from because it came out after Final Night and his Parallax stuff. So it was like, okay, it makes sense that he's seeking redemption. Did you read John Ostrander's Spectre?
Yes.
Oh
Yes. That
God,
was very good.
that had Tom Mandrake art. Oh man.
That's something that should be traded.
It is.
It is it?
Yeah. I don't know if it's still in print, but they did trade
Yeah.
the first two volumes of it. That was a dark series because it dealt with like AIDS, because AIDS was happening that during that time. And it had like this thing where this cop was in love with this girl so much, and then he find out she was like bleeding to death, and then he was paranoid to even help her because she had AIDS. He didn't want to get blood on her, because there was a paranoia back then that if you
Yep,
got
yeah, there
blood
was.
and you would get it. So it was the Spectre dealt with it. I love
Yeah.
that. Ostrander was one of my guys. Like if it was
Oh
Suicide
yeah.
Squad or Spectre.
Suicide Squad.
And his
Yeah.
wife Kim Yale, they did the Manhunter together and Suicide Squad together, and oh man, that's good stuff. What's floating your boat nowadays?
Well, I guess I'm still read Batman, you
Yep.
know, the Batman books. I'm hopping on the Superman, you know, Bendis stuff.
Did you
So
follow
far,
any of it before Bendis?
yeah, I followed Superman since Rebirth, basically.
Okay.
The new 52 on and off of Superman. So I have enjoyed, you know, the Man of Steel miniseries. I did like that.
Yep.
Justice League, I'm loving at the moment. Scott Snyder and this Legion of Doom,
Yeah.
awesome.
Well, that's in your wheelhouse right after Super
Yeah.
Friends was Challenge of the Super Friends.
Yeah. What's the name of the book? The other book that I'm really enjoying, and my brain's not working here, but you know, it has Metamorpho and Plastic Man
Oh,
and
the Terrifics.
Mr. T the Terrifics, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Is
have been enjoying
that the
that
only
book.
one that you're on board for like the New Age of Heroes, or is there something else?
That's the only one. I've read a few issues of some of the others.
How about in the Marvel world?
The Marvel, the Captain America. I read the Wade Captain America when they started renumbering,
Yeah.
and I just got the first issue of the new number one of Captain America. Doctor Strange has been incredible, you know.
Aaron, Jason
The
Aaron, and
last
then
few years, Jason
Donny
Aaron.
Cates.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
been incredible.
Now Mark Waid.
Yeah, Avengers. I've been reading Avengers for a little bit.
Did you read the No Surrender, or did you just?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
okay.
read No Surrender.
And now you're in the Jason Aaron run.
And then Fantastic Four, I'm looking forward to that. Did read some Spider-Man. Off and on. The Superior Spider-Man. I read that whole run. That was fantastic.
Oh yeah, that's one of the best arcs. That to me is the best Dan Slott arc for sure.
And the X-Men books I've been reading for the last, I don't know.
Gold and blue
Yeah. Been reading
and
Golden
red.
Blue, Red, Astonishing.
Are you trying Immortal Hulk?
I didn't try Immortal Hulk. I'm seeing how it goes. The first issue I thought was pretty good. We'll see how it
It's
goes.
pretty dark. I like it because it's, to me, it's more like going back to the Silver Age. It's got like a little bit more of a horror vibe to it.
Yeah. I'm glad to see Bruce Banner is back.
Have you loved the Alex Ross covers as much as I have,
Yes,
though? Holy
they're great.
moly! To me, that's almost worth the cost of admission as just the cover.
Yeah. I read a little bit of the Titans lately. I read this last issue that came out that they have like a new team.
Right, you probably saw the read the preview and said you wanted to try it.
Yeah. So it's been okay. I got the last issue of Teen Titans, you know, with a new team. I haven't read that yet. It seems kind of interesting. So yeah, I mean, there's a couple Image books.
Which ones?
There's the Jeff Lemire book, and I can't remember off the top of my head. I should.
Is that the Descender, or is that?
No, it's like on issue 4
Gideon's,
or 5.
Gideon's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
The one they're turning into a TV show. Or a movie. I can't remember which one. You reading Oblivion Song?
Oblivion Song, yeah, that's the other one.
Did you read Die, Die, Die? Did you get a copy of that?
No, I did. No, I didn't get a copy of that.
Yeah, that was good.
I heard that was good. Oh, the other independent in the last couple years that I really enjoyed, it started out as a Kickstarter. It was by Gail Simone, and it was Leaving Megalopolis.
Oh, yeah.
Did you read that?
Yeah, Jim Califori on art.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He did that Batman miniseries like 10 years ago.
Yeah, wasn't it an Arkham Asylum one or something? I can't
remember.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
I've always liked his art. Gail Simone's really good.
Yep. Her Domino, I've been reading that.
That's good.
Man.
I like it. Plastic Man, yeah. Too. Hawkman, did you try it?
Oh, yes. I actually love the first two issues of Hawkman.
Yeah, it's off to a good start.
If you're a longtime Hawkman reader, you know, going back to the Geoff Johns stuff and maybe before that, it should hit you in a sweet spot.
Sure.
Yeah. Good stuff. And the art's fantastic.
Well, the Geoff Johns run and the Jimmy Palmiotti, Justin Gray, is probably the longest that Hawkman ever had a title.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I would say it's his most successful run. Because Hawkman's been around, but he doesn't last very long.
No. I remember they had
Shadow War.
Shadow War, yeah. I read those issues, and you know, it was kind of confusing for a time there because Hawkman was like on the JSA, and then there was a different version that he was on the Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's when Geoff Johns kind of consolidated it and tried to explain it.
Yeah, and then there was that Zero Hour version where he was merged into
almost
several
like
different.
A beast, like a real hawk.
Yeah.
He had long hair and that huge Wolverine blade. Do you remember?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It had like a really cool cover to it. It was like all silver or something. Yeah, I've always been into like Hawkman or the Atom. You give me a B list or C list, I'm usually there.
Yeah. I always liked it when the Justice League book, whatever they had, would like, you know, have like a core but change up a few of the characters now and then.
Well, Hawkman,
and you know,
is
you
so
get
like,
to see characters that you don't.
Yeah, he's always been like iconic to me. Like, he was in Super Friends, Challenge of the Super Friends, Hawkman, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, and did you ever watch that real campy Legends of Superheroes or something that came out in the 80s that had Solomon Grundy, it had Hawkman, The Flash, Green Lantern. It was a live action. It had Adam West Batman and Burt Ward on it. It was pretty cool, man. I mean, today you'll like laugh at it because it doesn't stand up and it's like horrible, but it had Shazam. It had the Legion of Doom. It was just a one shot. It was just a one. The villain was Mordru from the Legion of Superheroes.
Okay.
It was crazy. But Hawkman was in it, and he would go, ah! He'd make like this hawk noise.
Sounds cool. Now I'm ready for the Justice Society to come back. You know, that's a book that we haven't had in a while.
I don't know what they're waiting for. Same with Legion. They keep making promises and showing us glimpses of things, but not
Yeah.
pulling the trigger. Yep.
And they've been gone for a good while.
They sure have.
Yeah.
So any other things you want to talk about in collecting? Do you like have Is your bulk of your collection Batman? Is that like what you have
I would say that's
consecutively,
like,
like most issues
yes.
of
Yes.
Detective and
'Cause
Batman?
yeah. Yeah, Batman 401. I have
Have you
about
ever been
every issue.
interested in going back and picking up some or?
I have, but I have, I just haven't done too much of it. I pick up a couple issues here or there, but I think it's because it's kind of overwhelming, you know, of the amount.
Well, it's one of the titles
Yeah.
that doesn't depreciate. It usually just goes up.
Yeah.
That's kind of a known, and that's why I don't have I have a pretty good run of Batman, almost going to 1973, but I'm missing like 20 issues. And
That's pretty
Detective.
impressive.
Yeah, my biggest purchases I had bat I bought Batman number 4 or number 3, sorry, which is the very first Catwoman out of costume, where she had the cat head actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I've been concentrating on trying to read some of the stuff that I've never read before. You know, when it comes to Batman, 'cause I can say pretty much before like 350, I don't know a lot of what went on. Only a handful of books that I've read. Beyond that, I'm pretty knowledgeable what stories happen when. But you know, you listen to Gotham by Geeks, those guys know their stuff about, you know, that stuff. It's always fun to hear, you know, shows like that that go back and do issues that people love and different things like that.
So, do you still bag and board your stuff collection or?
Yes. Yeah,
Yeah.
I always.
Do you
Yep.
read it and then put it in a bag and board and then a drawer box or a box?
I've gone over to the drawer boxes.
Oh, yeah. The
I
official
do.
ones?
I don't know if they're official or not. They might be.
Well, the drawer boxes say drawer box in the front. If they're
Yeah.
B if they're BCW, they don't say that.
Yeah, it's drawer box on the
And a
front
drawer
because
box has holes on the side. They have four holes because
Yep.
they support anchors, so you can anchor the boxes together so as you pull the drawer out, nothing moves. So you can stack
Yeah,
them like five high.
my last half dozen or so have drawer boxes, but everything else is in the regular, you know, old boxes that you have to lift up the
Lift
top and
up, yeah. I
yeah.
always want to convert everything I had from the 90s over. Anything prior to 90s and over, if I didn't buy it recently, is in a long box with the lid stacked on each other. Little harder to get to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically, no, I basically get my new comics from DCBS, and as soon as they come in the box, I open them up and I bag and board everything before I even read it. Just so I.
Keep it in as good condition as possible.
Yeah. That's
Do
just mostly for me and not.
you
I don't.
inventory it at all? Like to know
I
what you
do. I have
have?
that little app. I can't remember off the top of my head. It's on my tablet that I go in and you can scan, the barcode
Yeah, that's what
and
I
you put it
use, but
in.
I use the expensive one you have to pay for.
Yeah, I actually, it's probably the paid one, but I kind of, entered some contest and I won a free version.
Yeah. You probably use Comic Collector Live, I
Yeah,
would
that's it.
guess. See,
Yeah,
I
that's
use
it.
Comic Base, which is its
Okay.
competitor. But this one, you pay a subscription service and everything's taken care of for you. Like
Oh, okay.
every Thursday after books have come out, it's all out there, covers and everything. You just say
Oh,
get
that's cool.
update, boom, it's all out there. It doesn't rely
That's
on
cool.
users having to fill it in. Some of the obscure stuff, yes, they have to, like Kickstarters and such, you have to fill in. But most everything that's in previews is already taken care of for you. But it
Oh,
is the
that's
most
cool.
expensive one.
Yeah.
There's a yearly subscription fee.
But I have not inventoried everything that I have.
Do you
I have
kind
a
of know,
portion.
though, like what you have so you don't ever rebuy stuff by accident?
Yes. Because, I have a version on my phone, and there's this little collector shop that people just sell comics at. Is like a bookstore, used bookstore, and they put all their used comics, no matter what it is, at $1 or $2, no matter what it is. So I go over there every so often and just look through, and always look for the Detective Batman stuff to see what I don't have. And if I see something, it's not too often they
Is there a
have like older
website for
books.
that?
There isn't because they're like a mom and pop place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'd love that to know what they got in and but no, you have to physically go there
That sounds
and
like a good
look.
deal if they have $1 or $2 books to.
But yeah, but the
I
only
like.
problem is
Yeah.
they're not in any order at all. They got like thousands and thousands of new stuff, but you have to go searching through everything to see. It's
Yeah.
not like they have them in alphabetical order or
So
anything.
you
That's
can't
the
just
only
pick a
problem
run
with it.
off if you wanted one.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to
I'll
go
just
through.
take these
Sometimes you'll
20
get a
books.
bunch in a row, but yeah.
Any comic shops or do you, oh, you go to DCBS. Do you go to any comic shops as well, or is it strictly
Yeah, I have a.
DCBS?
I do go to one comic shop. It's called Four Color Fantasies. It's in Winchester, Virginia, here. It's about 20 minutes from where I live. If I do get stuff there that I want immediately, if I want to read something immediately, then I'll get it from there. Then I don't want to do digital because I get a discount there.
Yeah. Well, discount, that's the weird thing is it's full price unless you want to wait a while.
Yep, anything digital is.
And sometimes when you buy digital, you get both paper and digital. So
Yeah.
if you ever want to pull it up on your iPad or take it with you
Yeah,
can do
especially
it.
Marvel does that with all their stuff.
I wish DC was more consistent. Like at least they were doing it for the $3.99, but they stopped. And now they're just doing
Yeah.
whatever random hot book it is, like Batman 50 or Catwoman number one or the first Action Comics with Bendis or and then the next one doesn't have it. So it's
Yeah,
just like
that's.
some random hot book that they choose to put the digital code in.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Nope.
Any other collecting items you want to talk about?
Collecting, I usually do just comics. I don't really have. I do have maybe half a dozen figures, like statue type things.
Batman
but
related.
No, yeah, but nothing that I've gotten recently. I have like some of the Bat villains. I got a Catwoman, a Penguin, Joker.
Well, let's talk about that just for a little bit, and then we'll wrap it up. What are some of your favorite Batman villains that would, you know, kind of like these are the go-to villains that you'd like to see more of, or when they're in a comic, you usually enjoy them.
Well, the Joker has always been one. But some of these are like given, you know, the big guns, you know, the Riddler. I like the Riddler. The Penguin.
I love the Penguin. That's my guy.
I mentioned the ventriloquist before.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw, you know, you see him in Batman 50 there.
Yep.
With a Scarface, and I'm like, that probably got me the most excited out of any of those guys.
Well, if you think about it, he took Ventriloquist on the mission.
Yeah.
To fight Bane the first time.
Yeah.
So it's all linked.
Yeah. I know some of my favorite stories.
Bane better watch out, though, because Joker's the card that you can't predict.
Yeah.
He's the one factor you cannot control. He's like the random guy. Yeah, I would not want to team up with him. I would if any villain and I was going to team up with, I would not want it to be the Joker. He's pretty violent. He killed that whole church full of people.
Yep. And he's in Justice League too.
Yep. Luthor's smart as hell, though. I don't know how he can keep him at Bane, but he's very intelligent, so I don't think he would have invited him if he couldn't control him.
Isn't it great to see evil Luthor again?
Yeah. But even when he was a good person, he's sort of evil.
Yeah, he is. He's not.
You know, you can't turn your back.
No.
He has his own motivations. Like he has motivations, and when the motivations means he has to be good to accomplish whatever goal he has, he'll be good.
Yep. The other villain that I always liked, and he hasn't shown up, you know, because he had been dead for a while, supposedly, is the KGB Beast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 10 Nights of the Beast. Mm-hmm. I love that story.
God, the last time I remember seeing him, the KGB Beast, is the Aquaman and the others.
Yeah.
It's like, why is he appearing in this book?
I always like seeing Black Mask, as I said.
Yeah.
You know, I like when he goes into Arkham. You know, the one book that I really got me going full time was that Batman 400. Uh-huh. And, you know, when they break out all the villains out of Arkham and you see almost everybody, the villains. That's kind of cool. That's the kind of thing that I love seeing.
So one thing that I want to ask you one other question. Are you pro Gotham or anti Gotham, the TV show?
Oh, I like the TV show.
Yeah, I'm just curious because they do some fascinating things with it.
They do some wild things.
It's like an Elseworlds.
Yes, exactly. I had to put it in my mind that this was an Elseworlds to get around the changes they've done to, you know, like Bruce Wayne and different characters.
Yeah.
And I had to set it right away. Okay, this is an Elseworld, and I'm okay with it. But I've enjoyed it.
But you talk about them casting the Penguin and the Riddler, and they're so good. I mean, they're just highlights for me in that show. I just love them. Anytime they come in to play, those actors are just...
Yeah, they're great.
I love Commissioner Gordon as an actor too. I think he's great.
Yeah, he's good. Even Bullock,
Yeah,
although
Bullock
sometimes
is.
he can be a little whiny,
Yeah,
but
but
overall.
I think he's justified for doing what he does. Like, I don't know. There, anytime you deal with Batman, there's always like questions like, how could you live with yourself if you put the Joker away, he gets out, he slaughters 200 people. You put him away, he comes out, slaughters another 200 people. Like, when is enough enough? You know,
Yeah.
it's just it. I understand why he doesn't, because then he's going down to his level. You know, like I get it, but me as just a regular person to have to live with that, I would have to live with those dead bodies, and I was like, I just lost 400 people when I could have, it could have just been one. I
One,
don't
yeah.
know. Yeah.
It's an interesting debate.
It is. And that's, I don't know if you're reading Batman White Knight, but
Oh yeah,
it plays with some interesting things.
I'm only like a couple issues in. I have all of them, but I'm only a couple issues in. But
Yeah.
it's been very good so far.
All right, well, I think we can wrap this one up, Bill, and I want to thank you for joining me. I really like to do these episodes. I want to see if you can give your contact information one more time
Okay,
about your
well thank you very much
podcast.
for thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it. I'm on Twitter at Gotham Knight 13. My podcast, which is Too Old, Too New. We are at Too Old, Too New. And we talk two old comic books, two new comic books every episode.
So, can I ask you a question on that? Do you pick two and then he
Yep.
picks two? Okay. And
Yes.
do you
We both
read each other's?
Yes.
Okay.
So we pick a new and an old one and we read each other's. Like we just recorded earlier in the week and I picked Shadow Pact number one
Well, that's a good
was
one.
my old book and Clue number one was my new book. Whatever we decide we want to do, there's no, we don't have any restrictions. And 99% of the time it's something we enjoyed because we don't really want to talk about. We want to promote stuff that we like and enjoy. It's all about,
But does that
you
mean,
know.
wait, like, okay, do you, let's say you picked Clue and you really enjoyed it and your
Yeah.
co-host didn't. Does that happen?
It does, but we don't really go into, you know, like he did another book, and of course I can't remember. You know, it's based on a cartoon on the Cartoon Network.
Oh, was it Rick and Morty?
Yes, Rick and Morty.
Okay.
Well, that was my first experience with a comic.
Right, you don't watch it in the cartoon
Yeah,
either.
I didn't write, and I thought it was just okay.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was, but I didn't. I let his love for the comic come out. What he really enjoyed about it. I asked questions about it and this and that as far as the cartoon went, but I let what he enjoyed about it come out. And at the end, I said, yeah, it really didn't do much for me. But then again, I've never seen the TV show. So if I ever watched the TV show, maybe I would get some enjoyment out of the TV show that I could enjoy the comic a little bit more. So there
Yeah.
has been stuff that we haven't loved, but we try not to focus on the negativity of stuff. There's so much negative on the internet that
Sure.
try to look at the positive.
Yeah. It's my pet peeve a little bit is there's more people to swarm around the negative than there is to swarm around the positive.
Yeah.
So like if you made a tweet saying you hate blah blah blah, then more people will swarm around that saying, yeah, this sucks. And then, you got a bigger discussion than if you say, I absolutely love this book, then there's less people that will reply to anything.
Well, my biggest thing when, the Rebirth version of this Batman came out, and after so many issues, I tweeted out that I didn't really like it. I didn't really like how it's going. I didn't really like it. I got slam basted basically by people saying how about a horrible person. So ever since then, and I don't like negativity to come out. I just don't say anything negative about my favorite character. I try to keep it positive. If I don't have anything positive to say, I don't say anything about
Well,
it.
I haven't been a
You
Batman fan of Tom King's.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's growing on me. I've posted recently that, I've enjoyed the last few arcs pretty well, but I've had a lot of problems with it. But I'm not gonna blast the people that love
No.
it.
No.
I have different reasons for not liking it. I think it's not the story for me. For me, it's the dialogue, but other people have
And
other reasons why they don't like it.
just because you don't like something doesn't mean you have something personal against the creators on the book.
Well, I would
'Cause
never have that. That's
Yeah,
ridiculous.
and I think that's what was read into the comment that I made. But I've gone to cons, I've talked to these creators. Not everything somebody does, everybody's gonna like, but everything that somebody does is always somebody's favorite, And when someone says, hey, I don't like this, this stinks or whatever, and it's your favorite book, I can see how people would be like a little bit turned off.
Offensive.
Yeah. But not to want to, end your life or anything like that.
Right. When I
That's
tend
totally
to be, I'm
ridiculous.
very not very negative about anything, but when I
Yeah.
am, I try to make sure I use the word I. In other words, not this global term. Like
Right.
everybody should hate it, but this is how I feel about it personally, and this is why I don't like it, and this
Right.
is why I don't think it's good writing. But having said that, I'm starting to see some threads and stuff that I do like about it. So yeah, I've been focusing lately on what I do like,
Yeah.
and on
There's
Batman specifically.
yeah. And there's some things that happened in 50 that kind of opened my eyes about other things that that maybe I didn't like certain behaviors and it seemed like that was all set up to a certain point. So, we'll see.
Well, I mean, when you think about what he has or who he has there, anything is feasible. Psycho Pirate is fucking, he can cause mass emotion of any type. And from a distance, we've seen him affect a whole city before.
And how many characters in that group of villains could he assuade?
Oh,
That could,
sure.
yeah.
He could even be swaying his master, Bane. I mean,
Yeah. Yeah.
he's the Medusa mask is what allows him to walk around and not influence, but once that thing's off, forget it. So,
Yeah. I look forward to where it's going.
yeah,
Yeah.
I'm gonna definitely read 52 next. I loved 51 because of I love when Tom is with Lee Weeks. Oh my God. Like when he did the Elmer Fudd one, that was my favorite single issue almost that I've read in the last 10 years. It was just it hit the spot for me. And when they're teaming up, I really like it. God, I like his art. It's phenomenal. That's my
Yeah, he's
my
good.
art one of my artists that I think he just gets better with time.
Oh yeah. Oh
Some
yeah.
people don't. Some people don't draw as much or draw less detail with time to speed up work. His art to me just gets better as time goes on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to thank you for joining us on this show, and you can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch and on the Geek Brunch podcast. So thank you all for listening, and thanks for joining me. And if you ever want to talk Batman, hit me up. We can talk some Batman.
Okay.
All
Sounds
right.
good. I can do that anytime. Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, you have a wonderful week.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye.